गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानन्द रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविरावीर्म एधि वेदस्य महानिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीः अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् सन्दधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम् अवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्तिः शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं। सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीकृष्ण गोविन्द हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव गोविन्द दामोदर माधवेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। नारायण। In the last session, we saw the verse number 52. I'll read the verse first and then we will go further into the meaning from where we left in the last session.
Yada te moha kalilam buddhir vyatitarishyati tada gantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shutasya cha yada te moha kalilam buddhir vyatitarishyati तदा गन्तासि निर्वेदं श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च
भगवान शंकराचार्य जी इस भाष्य आल्सो यदा यस्मिन् काले ते तव मोहकलिलं मोहात्मकं अविवेक रूपं कालुष्यं येन आत्मानात्म विवेक बोधं कलुषीकृत्य विषयं प्रति अंतकरणं प्रवर्तते तत्तव बुद्धिः व्यतितरिष्यति व्यतिक्रमिष्यति शुद्धि भावम आपत्स्यते इत्यर्थः तदा तस्मिन् काले गन्तासि प्राप्स्यसि निर्वेदं वैराग्यं श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च तदा श्रोतव्यं श्रुतं च निष्फलं प्रतिपद्यते इति अभिप्रायः. सो वी वर सीइंग व्हाट भगवान एंड कृष्णा सुप्रीम कॉन्शियसनेस भगवान कृष्णा थ्रू दिस वर्स इज ट्राइंग टू गिव अस अ डेफिनेशन और व्हाट इज एक्चुअली मेंट बाय अ प्योर इंटेलेक्ट or a pure antakarana. The pure antakarana, the way we have to understand it, since this verse is exactly defining that. So we saw in the last session that from the verse itself, yada te buddhihi mohakalilam vyatitarishyati tada gantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. As and when your buddhi, yasmin kale, whichever period of time this happens with you, yada yasmin kale, te tava, te means your buddhihi, your intellect means your antakkaranam, moha kalilam vyatitarishyati. And we describe the moha kalilam as the, you know, muddy water, which is in the form of delusion. So, you know, there is another word which I can and use for kalilam. Kalilam can also be described in English as Maya, M-I-R-E. So, when your intellect crosses over the delusory Maya, crosses over that, on the other side, after crossing over, tada gantasi nirvedam, where will you reach? You will reach a state of nirvedam. Nirvedam means vairagyam. So, whenever we use the word nirvedam, you need to understand it's actually meant by the term called vairagyam. Vairagyam means dispassion. And dispassion for what? What is the dispassion you are going to get for? Shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. You know, you will, by the moment your buddhi, your intellect or your antakkarana crosses over the mire of delusion and reaches the other shore, on the other shore you will attain something called dispassion. Dispassion against, and I told you, what we have desire for or what we have passion for can be classified into two things. One is for the things which we have heard, shrutasya, and the other thing is for those things which we are yet to hear or not heard or which are worthy of hearing. You know, and in the last session I described, shrutasya is all that which has been explained in as part of karmakand, the kind of results what we are going to achieve. Or if you translate it in the world, it is all that we have heard as achievement in the world. We must have heard that if you reach this level, this is what you are going to get. For example, you know, you do your MBA, you reach a position in the company, these are the benefits you are going to get. These are the achievements which you are going to get. This is the kind of fame you are going to gain. If you reach this stage, for example, if you reach the teaching line, you do a PhD, you become a research scholar, these are the kind of achievements, sets of achievements you are going to get. These are the kind of results which are going to come into you. Those are all falling under the word called Shrotasya. All that has been heard of. And Shrotavyasya, those which we have not heard yet, but yes, in terms of achievements in the world, they are definitely worthy of hearing. You know, one literal way I have also mentioned that, you know, this is how we should classify it also. Actually speaking, Shrotavyasya we can classify easily for those things which are afterlife achievements. For example, I told you Swarga, Vaikunth Lok, you know, Saket Lok and those higher achievements, higher lokas and all we speak about, they are all Shrotavyasya. What is the praman for that? What is the proof for that? Scripture, Shastra eva pramanam, alaukika vishaye vedaha pramanam. For all those things which are not comprehensible by our senses, which are non-comprehensible in this creation by us, which are subtle enough that we can't, this gross mind and intellect cannot comprehend, though for those things the praman or the proof is actually Veda. Veda means our Sanatan Dharma scriptures we are talking about. So when we say Shrotavyasya and Shrutasya, one way of classifying it is that this person is going to get dispassion for all those things which have been heard or which have been described, which are comprehensible in this creation, and along with that all those things which are worthy of hearing, being probably those achievements which are afterlife also. And two things I brought up in the last session and was, you know, the description of Vairagya as brought up in Tattva Bodha, a Prakarna Grantha called Tattva Bodha, and what I mentioned, Iha Mutrartha Phalabhoga Viragaha Vairagya. So, dispassion is what? Iham means here. Amutra means in the afterlife or in the, you know, next loka, in the different loka. Iha Amutra. Those things which are here and those things which are attained after we leave from here. So, Iha Amutra Phalabhoga Viragaha. That once somebody gets a dispassion for all the fruits which can be attained or all the results which can be attained in this life, along with that, this person gets a dispassion for all those results which can be attained in afterlife. This person comes at a level that very clear in intellect, in its mind, in his, you know, his or her mind, that I don't want anything here also, I don't want anything afterward also. That is what the real definition of dispassion is. And I also brought up the definition of Vairagya from Patanjali Yoga Sutra in the first adhyaya, 15th shloka is there, 15th verse is there. Drishtanushravika, what did I mention there? Drishtanushravika Vishayasya Vitrishna Vashikara Sangya Vairagyam. So, Drishtanushravika Vishaya Vitrishnasya Vashikara Sangya Vairagyam. So, that's how the definition is. Drishta means all those which is seen. Seen means not only seen, all those which are comprehensible by our senses, as I just mentioned few minutes before. Anushravik means all those which are not comprehensible by our senses, those things which are not comprehensible, but they are worthy of hearing, they are definitely higher level of achievements than what we have already heard of or what can be comprehensible by our, what is comprehensible by our own senses. They are higher achievements, but they are not something which are comprehensible by our senses. So, we need to remember this definition. Drishtanushravika Vishaya Vitrishnasya Vashikara Sangya. That person who is able to do Vashikara means able to control over this passion, or control over this desire to attain things which are comprehensible by our senses and also attain those things which we have heard in our scriptures as attainments which are non-comprehensible in this body. So once some person gets a control over that thing, over the mind, to control those desires, that, you know, and reach a state which I just mentioned, that I don't want any of those things, that will be actually called as Vairagyam. And I told you, for them the pramana or the proof is only Vedas. So Bhagwan says, what is this delusion, you know, what is this mire of delusion all about? Bhagwan Bhashyakar, I told you, is a wonderful commentary. I think amazing is the word which I'll use for this commentary. Out of world, things have been mentioned by, you know, out of world way of describing this thing so crystal clear that how you define Kalilam and all. Bhagwan Bhashyakar or Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has brought up that moha kalilam mohatmakam aviveka rupam kalushyam. The beauty is this kalushyam means this maya. What is this maya? It is in the form of ignorance. So he has, as you know, translated the maya as ignorance. This muddy water is actually ignorance. What has it done? By which our viveka, our wisdom, our knowledge, actually gets suppressed, or I can use it different way, actually get covered. What happens when we see the mire? You can't see the, you know, the bottom of it, right? You can't see the surface of it because the mud covers the entire thing. In the same way, what this delusion, you know, the mire in the form of delusion does for us, it actually covers our wisdom, covers our intellect, covers our knowledge. Yena Atmanatma Viveka Bodham Kalushi Krutya. Very, very beautiful line. What does this Moha Kalilam, this mire of delusion do? Atmanatma Viveka. The discrimination which we have within us regarding what? Self and the non-self. The discrimination which we have got in our, that, you know, these are all self, this is not self. One thing I brought up in the last session about the Tattva Bodha definition, Vivekaha, and I used the word over there. What is Viveka? We use the word over there in terms of Viveka, that, you know, Atmanatma Vivekaha, Vivekaha. The knowledge or the clear understanding of the self and the non-self is actually called wisdom, according to the Tattva Bodha definition. Then, you know, Tattva Bodha further describes, which I didn't bring up, I'm bringing up now to you, which I didn't bring up in the last session, I'm bringing it up now. There Tattva Bodha says, is, you know, Eka Vastu, Eka Nitya Vastu Brahma. You know, one alone is the Nitya Vastu, and the word which is used there as for Viveka is Nitya Nitya Viveka Vivekaha. Now, the discrimination between what is permanent and what is impermanent is actually Viveka. Viveka means wisdom there. So, you know, what is, you know, Nitya and Anitya? Nitya Vastu Ekam Brahma Tad Vyatriktam Sarvam Anityam. They further describe there as Eka Vastu Nityam Brahma. One alone is permanent in this whole creation. That is what? Brahman. Brahman means Supreme Consciousness. Apart from Brahman, apart from the Supreme Consciousness, everything else in this creation is temporary or impermanent. So that is the way of defining in Vivekaha over there. Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha Vivekaha Nitya Vastu Ekam Brahma Tad Vyatiriktam Sarvam Anityam. Apart from the Nitya Vastu, which is one alone, which is Brahman or Supreme Consciousness alone, is the permanent thing. Apart from that, everything else is impermanent in this creation. So what this is mire of delusion does for us, this mire of delusion actually covers the wisdom of Atma and Anatma. Covers the wisdom of what is self and what is non-self, or what is permanent in this creation and what is impermanent in this creation, which is called Nitya and Anitya. The discrimination between that, this it covers. It makes that discrimination of the self, or the identification of the permanent and impermanent, or the self or non-self, it makes it ineffective. Nishprabhavi, it makes it ineffective. And what it, and you know, once that becomes ineffective, that means when the knowledge become ineffective, means what? Ignorance covers us. So when we are in a state of no knowledge, that means we are ignorant. So we move to the state of ignorance. Ignorance about the permanent and non-permanent, which I just mentioned as Nitya and Anitya, the self and non-self, which is Atma and Anatma, in Bhagavan Shankaracharya's definition here. What does it does then? The moment intellect is covered in terms of its discriminative ability between the self and the non-self, or the permanent and the non-permanent, Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Vishayam Prati Antakkaranam Pravartate. Our antakarana, our inner equipment of the four, which is mind, ego, intellect and memory. What happens to them the moment knowledge is covered? Antakaranam vishayam prati pravartate. Our inner equipment of these pair of four, mind, ego, intellect and memory, they are pushed to action towards the external objects. Vishayam prati. Towards the world of objects, towards the Einsteinian world of time, space and objects. So technically the ignorance pushes us towards the Einsteinian world of time, space and objects. Why? Because the self becomes
veiled.
Self becomes covered, or this wisdom becomes veiled. Veiled by the mire of delusion. Delusion means what? Delusion that object is permanent. So, you know how it acts within us. For us, the objects and the world seems permanent, and the inner thing starts to seem impermanent. See, you know, just think of us. We think that, you know, God is someone who is sitting in a different world or loka altogether and need to be called here to resolve my problem. I'm sorry, Sanatan Dharma doesn't talk about such God at all. Sanatan Dharma is very clear. God is not sitting in a different loka at all. God is living with us here at every moment. Rather, I would use this word. God is, you know, completely awake more than we are in this whole creation. There is no place where God is not there, or the Supreme Consciousness is not there. And that is why we use the word called pervasive about the self. Pervasive means what? There is no place where, you know, he's not there. Yatha sarvagatam. Is sarvagatam means is everywhere. Supreme Consciousness is everywhere. There is no place in this creation where the Supreme Consciousness is not there. I'll take you one next level also. In Vedanta, how he says, actually speaking, this impermanent world also resides in the permanent Supreme Consciousness. And the world is impermanent or temporary, and Supreme Consciousness is permanent. Even if when I use the word in the end of this, you know, podcast, in the end of every podcast, Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, he is always complete. Whether we are there or not, Supreme Consciousness is always complete. Purnam, Purnam Adaha, Purnam Idam. And while the creation is here also, still that self or Supreme Consciousness is completely, always complete, ever complete. You know, in that this creation rises and goes back and dissolves, rises and dissolves, rises and dissolves. For every rise and dissolution, and what needs to be there? There has to be a permanent substratum. That permanent substratum is actually called the self. Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Antakkaranam, I'll read the entire word to just get the beauty of this. I do not know. I really enjoy the way Bhagavan Shankaracharya has mentioned this also. Moha Kalilam, Mohatmakam Aviveka Rupam Kalushyam, Yena Atmanatma Viveka Bodham Kalushikritya, Vishayam Prati Antakkaranam Pravartate, Tattava Buddhihi. When your intellect, Vyatitarishyati, Vyatikramishyati, is able to cross over it, is able to win over it, is able to permanently go across it. Vyatikramishyati means what Bhagavan Shankaracharya has so beautifully mentioned there. What do you mean by Vyatikramishyati? Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Shuddhi Bhavam Apatsyate Iti Artha. That is the reason I said in the beginning that this is the form of a pure intellect as defined by Bhagavan Krishna. And that's exactly what Bhagavan Shankaracharya is bringing out here. Buddhi Vyatitarishyati or Vyatikramishyati means Shuddhi Bhavam Apatsyate. When the mind or when the intellect and memory or the Antakkarana attains the state of complete purity. Purity means what? There are no kinds of disturbances. And I'll use one word. Disturbances means what? All the impurities can be defined as what? You know, there are six which I can bring out very easily. Like, you know, anger, hatred, jealousy, you know, so-and-so attachment and so-and-so which will go. So, you know, these are all actually impurities. Every time when you push or go and act in the world, it is very difficult for you to not or be, you know, become impure after every, you know, interaction with the world. Impurity, attachment is also impurity. Yeah? When I say impurity, it's not that, you know, all the negatives only come there. So, you know, so what, you know, in case I perform and I don't get jealousy and hatred, where is the impurity I'm talking about? No, all the kind of changes which mind undergoes, all the kind of emotions which mind goes through, whether good or bad, they are all categorized as vikara. All the kind of vikaras are mentioned like that. So, you know, here Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Shuddhi bhavam apatsyate ityartha. Means what? Our intellect, you know, becomes pure in its states. Our intellect becomes so pure that it stops getting pushed towards the world of objects. So, you know, we can translate it in the other way also. How can you define you are pure? When your antakarana, your inner equipment, stop getting pushed towards the world of objects again and again, you can consider that you have become pure. This is the benchmark of purity. This is the measurement of purity. That's the reason Bhagavan Shankaracharya has mentioned, Shuddhi bhavam apatsyate iti artha. It's attained the state of that complete purity. Shuddhi bhavam, it's attained the state of, it has attained that level. It has attained that, you know, kind of a situation, kind of a position, that it is completely pure from all these things. The world of objects stop bothering this person. You know, in the world of objects, what should I say? I'll bring up one story probably, you know, towards the end of this session, or, you know, once I complete this verse, I'll bring up one story about the world, which will tell you how the world functions also. It's very strange how this world functions, world and the people. So, you know, expecting from the world and people is not a good thing at all for in our lives. So what usually happens with us today, that we all have this kind of a wisdom that, you know, these things are not permanent. What should I do? But I'm forced to go after it. I'll bring one thing which, you know, suddenly pops up in my memory. God knows from where this popped up though. You know, if you all remember the first, you know, part of Matrix, the movie Matrix, there is one scene there which, I you know, suddenly popped up in my memory. I do not know from where it popped up though. But it you know, just says that one person, when it is describing the entire matrix is to somebody, to Neo, and somebody is explaining the entire matrix program to Neo, he says, you know what, this burger I'm eating, I know it's unreal, but what can I do? I am forced towards it. I am forced to eat it. So that is exactly what Bhagavan Shankaracharya means. Boy, God, we all have this wisdom, what is permanent and what is temporary. But the thing is, we are in such a delusion that we want to make the temporary things permanent in our life, and we want to actually overlook or overgo or forget about the permanent thing in this world. What a kind of delusory state we are. You know, there is one word which Pooja Gurudev used to say beautifully, that we are trying to look for permanent happiness in this temporary world. How can you think to gain permanent happiness in this temporary world? In this world, everything is temporary. Permanent is only the self. Permanent happiness can be gained only by attaining the permanent. You cannot get permanent happiness from the temporary. That objective is wrong. You are living in a state of delusion. That's exactly what Bhagavan Shankaracharya is trying to bring up here. That, you know, in this permanent world, oh man, look through this temporary, in this temporary world, oh man, look through this, that, you know, what is permanent. And while looking through it in this temporary world, while acting temporarily in this temporary world, hold on to the permanent. And that holding on to the permanent or God is what exactly Karma Yoga is all about. Why did I use the word in the beginning that Karma Yoga is all about actually looking to God, being devoted to God, and try to actually hold on to God amongst this world of mumbo jumbo, or the world of temporary objects. You know, one more thing I mentioned in the last time, which I'm bringing it now. Actually, our intellect is right now, undergoing a disease. Actually, it's diseased right now, not D-E-C-E-D-I-S-E-S-E, what I'm talking about. Actually, we are suffering from a disease of intellect, which is what, that, you know, our intellect actually is is covered by this mire of delusion, is covered by this muddy water of delusion, and it's a kind of a bacteria, which is bacteria or a disease which is sitting in our intellect, and the antibiotic to treat that or the antidote for this kind of a disease is only and only Karma Yoga. And that's exactly what Supreme Consciousness, Bhagavan Krishna, is wanting to highlight from this particular verse. Which means what? What is the meaning in that, you know, one has crossed over the mire of delusion, means that that person has established in something called the knowledge of Karma Yoga. That person's yoga buddhi has become siddha. That is the kind of identification which comes to us, that, you know, the moment the delusory mire of you know, this world of objects is crossed over and we have attained a state of dispassion in our life, understand, yoga buddhi or the knowledge of Karma Yoga has got established. You know, that at delusion is the thing which actually is suppressing the knowledge of the truth, is suppressing the difference of understanding between the permanent and the impermanent. The moment our intellect crosses over that, that means what? Our internal equipment of antakarana stops getting pulled towards the world of objects, stop getting pushed towards them, stops getting pulled by the world of objects, stop getting pushed towards the world of objects. You know, and then what happens then? That means when it stops getting pulled towards the objects, it stops getting pushed towards the object, or it stops getting pulled by the objects. Why I'm using both the words? Actually, to be honest with you, objects don't have the capability to pull us. Please understand this very well. It is we who get pushed towards them by our own self, our own antakarana, our own inner equipment. Own self means own inner equipment. When we reach a state that our intellect stops getting pushed towards the object, means what? Our intellect and memory now doesn't want to, you know, go after the world of objects, want to sit down peacefully and, you know, sit down in the devotion to God, in the bhajan towards God, wants to sing the glory of God, wants to increase the time that intellect spends with God, that it increases in prayer, your meditation, other sadhanas, wants to spend more and more time with God, because objects, the push towards the objects is gone, the free time then goes towards God. And earlier what used to happen, this world of objects or the push towards the world of objects, which was created inside the internal equipment, was one of the things which was actually displacing this person from bhajan, from devotion, from bhakti. You know, when that object which was actually creating a disturbance in the, you know, continuation of the bhakti and devotion, once that is removed, this person has got the ability to revel inside, revel within. That person becomes, in Sanskrit language, becomes antarmukhi. You know, our intellect has got two states. When I was explaining you the BMI chart last time also, I told you, intellect has the ability to become bahirmukh. Bahirmukh means to look outside to the gross world of objects, and has also got the ability to become antarmukh. Antarmukh means to look within. Now, there are many things I can explain here, but sometimes, you know, when I'll invite you all for some Vedanta session, I'll probably explain it there in detail. To give you the actual gist of what you mean by antarmukh and being bahirmukh. But for now, you just understand bahirmukh means when our inner equipments, which is mind, ego, intellect and memory, constantly engages in the world of objects and becomes gross itself. And I told you, a gross intellect and gross memory, gross mind and gross ego, or gross antakarana, loses the ability to comprehend and understand the subtle subjects of the self. So that ability is gone. Only when it starts to, you know, go gradually pull away its mind and ego and intellect and memory from the gross world of objects. And, you know, pull away means what? You have to do something, right? You can't just leave it empty. It's not being empty. I'm not talking about shunyavad here. pulls away from the world of objects and the engagement in the world of objects and invests in what? The self. Invests in the higher, which is the supreme consciousness. The gross intellect, which was gross till now, starts to slowly sharpen itself and starts to gain the ability to grasp subtle subjects. Why? Because the intellect, memory, mind and ego also starts to become slowly, gradually, subtle, you know, piece by piece, moment by moment, day by day, starts to become there. So this person, because there is nothing to obstruct the path of devotion for such a person, obstruct the amount of time being spent in the devotion to God, in devotion to who the dear for this person, and the things which were creating obstructions are gone, this person starts to revel in God, stops to revel in the world and the world of objects, and starts to revel in the self or in God. When the moment such a kind of state is achieved by a person, that person should understand. I told you, this is an internal measurement for everyone. And I'm again repeating one thing, don't do the mistake of using this measurement index and going and measuring people outside. Don't do that stupidity at all. All the spiritual sciences is for your own measurement, not to judge the world outside. Everyone is coming from their own evolution cycle. But Bhagwan is giving an indicator, Arjun, when tava buddhite buddhihi moha kalilam vetitrishyati, the moment and it has crossed over this mire of delusion, and the state what will you reach is nirvedam, tada gantasi nirvedam, you would have reached a state of dispassion towards shrotavyasya shrutasya cha, understand you have attained or you have walked towards the purity of intellect, which is what? Which is the qualification required to grasp Sankhya Buddhi. Bhagavan says, Yada Moha Kalilam Vyatitirishyati, when a sadhak, a seeker, has crossed over the mire of delusion, means what? This mire of the delusion has become ineffective for such a person, and cross means that he has attained a kind of dispassion, and these are kind of indicators there. Means what? The desire or attachment to objects stop pulling this person. Objects stop pulling this person. The world also stop pulling this person towards it. This person loses interest in both things. Shrotavyasya shrutasya, those things which are heard of also, those things which are yet to be heard also. Oh, in the next line, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji also says to explain this tada gantasi, tada tasmin kale, at that particular moment. Now remember, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji used in the beginning yada yasmin kale, and he is using tada tasmin kale. Yada yasmin kale means whenever this happens, and whichever period of time it happens, whichever time it happens, tada tasmin kale means at that particular moment itself, at that particular time itself, gantasi, you will reach, the person will reach, prapsyasi means he is going to attain, nirvedam vairagyam. Bhagavan Shankaracharya has also said that here, nirvedam means vairagyam. Shrotavyasya shrutasya cha, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji explains this here, the reason I brought it up, to highlight here. Tada shrotavyam shrutam cha nishfalam pratipadyate iti abhiprayah, means all those results which this person has heard about as a level of achievement in this world, you know, the kind of positions, the kind of you know, things in the society to attain, the kind of things in the corporate ladder to attain, the kind of, you know, horizontal growth earth, they talk about that, you know, you can reach this position and, you know, become a president, become a prime minister, become so and so. You can think of whatever you have heard of in this creation, and those which have been expounded upon in the scriptures as to be attained, and as the higher lokas, that, you know, if you do this, you know, you have this much punya, you will reach, you know, heaven, swarga. If you, you know, have got this much of effort done, you have this much of karma done, you will go higher than heaven to Brahma Loka, which I mentioned as, you know, Vaikunth Lok and Saket Lok and other Loka, Shiv Lok, Devi Lok and all. I spoke about, you will reach that state. Bhagwan Shankaracharya says tada at that moment itself, all these results put together, all these levels of achievements put together, that which you have heard also, that which you are worthy of hearing also, they will become nishphalam pratipadyate. They will lose its importance. They will, you know, they will stop to excite you. They will become fruitless for you. They will become ineffective to actually pull you towards action. Remember, I'm highlighting one thing. That doesn't mean you're going to inaction. Please don't consider that at all. Don't do that mistake. This will become ineffective. They will lose their power to actually pull you towards action. They will, you know, lose their ability to attract you. Nishphalam pratipadyate. They will become fruitless for you. They will stop attracting you forever. That is what is meant by, you know, this particular verse here. There are certain things which Pujya Gurudev mentions, which I definitely want to, you know, bring out, or especially Pujya Gurudev in his Bhagavad Gita commentary says, essentially godly and divine, the spiritual consciousness seems to fall under a self-delusion. When analyzed, it becomes perfectly evident as to its effects. This cause of delusion is conceived of as the indescribable power called Maya. Why I am bringing up specially here? Because there is a different level Pujya Gurudev is also explaining. And I want to bring out for you to give a complete and comprehensive understanding of this verse. Like unmanifest electricity, Maya as such is not perceptible, except in its different manifestations. It is a phenomenon, and that can be fully estimated and accounted for through its varied expressions. And one thing I want to highlight what Pujya Gurudev is bringing up here, that upon observing and analyzing the effects of Maya within the constitution of all individualized and embodied souls, the Vedantic masters have beautifully concluded that it comes to play in two distinct modes of expression at two different layers of human personality. Thus, at the intellectual level, it expresses itself as a film of doubt and hesitation in its understanding or experiencing of the self in us. This expression Maya is coined by the masters to mean the veiling power, which in Vedanta is called as Avarana Shakti. Due to this mist of ignorance, which is the veiling power and Avarana Shakti, that envelops the intellect, when it is unconscious of spiritual reality behind it, the mind starts projecting the world of the not-self and superimposes upon it two firm ideas that it is true, satyatva, and I am nothing other than the projected world, Atma Buddhi. This is Maya's expression as the projecting power, which is called Vikshepa Shakti. In this stanza, it is said that once the intellect in us is purified through the art of steady work called devotion, through work, it becomes possible for it to peep over the veil of ignorance that separates it from the splendor of the spiritual entity. When the intellect sloughs off its delusions, it goes beyond its attachment for the charms of the sensuous world. But before this happens, the intellect, being ignorant of its spiritual destiny, struggles to fulfill itself and then surges forward seeking satisfaction among the finite sense objects of the world. When the intellect discovers in itself a capacity to pierce through the dreary veil of ignorance, it comes to live its own real nature of bliss infinite. Each fleeting joy in the sense world only sharpens its appetite for the infinite bliss, which is its real nature. To the extent that the clouds have moved and the sun has emerged, to that extent, he who is warming himself up at the fireside moves away from that fireplace and walks into the openness to bask in the all-enveloping warmth of the blazing sun. Similarly, to the extent that the illusion of ignorance melts away in an integrated intellect, to that extent, its wanderings in the sensuous world are curtailed. The sense world is beautifully indicated by two representative terms, what has been heard, Shrutam, and what is yet to be heard or worthy of hearing, Shrotavyam. We must include therein the seen and the unseen, the smelt and the unsmelt, the tasted and the not tasted, and the touched and not yet touched. The intellect of such a purified karma yogi does not relive its memory of the sensuous joys that it had experienced in the past, and also it does not remember that it has to experience still more joys in the future through the sense organs in the world of sense objects. If we take the word meaning of these terms literally, we get the usual interpretation of the commentators. When a seeker's mind is not tossed about the seemingly different and often opposing conclusions of the philosophers, when they do not upset him anymore, then he is established in the inner purity. I thought I must bring out this definition to give the side which Pujya Gurudev is wanting to bring out. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, we need to sit back and understand amongst this world what is supposed to be kept as temporary goal and what is to be chosen in our life as the final goal. That is what this entire discrimination is all about. What Bhagwan Krishna, Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna, is trying to teach us from this particular verse. Means what? If this person who has attained such a place, his intellect stops to run after the sensuous world of the objects and starts to spend more time in devotion. Remember one word which Pujya Gurudev used to say very beautifully, yes, our mind must be there where our hands are, but intellect should be permanently placed after carving out the path to do this particular work, after, you know, having a small attachment, which we told you in the last session, that intellect needs to first see the vision of the goal before setting out the action. After setting out the path of action for the mind and ego to function along with the sense object, this intellect rests at the lotus feet of God, rests at the lotus feet of Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna. That is what is meant by this. For such a person, all the results put together in this whole cosmos of what has been heard, and as Pujya Gurudev mentioned, those just see heard and unheard only, it has to be put out with all the sense objects. All the sense means all the organs of knowledge, whatever can be, you know, understood or grasped by all our organs of knowledge, five organs of knowledge, which is what? Eyes, eyes means, you know, chakshu, shrotra, grana, rasana, and tvak, and, you know, what you call that, our skin, our touch sense. So what are the five things which we grasp, organs of knowledge? What we are seeing, you know, whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever we smell, whatever we taste, and whatever we touch. All these are organs of knowledge, and all these knowledge are actually taken back to mind. The mind takes it, should be taking up to intellect to actually understand what to keep and what not to keep. That choice we have to make. So this person, this karma yogi, understands it very well, that while acting through this world of temporary objects, these temporary objects are not supposed to be kept or chosen as my final goal. My final goal has to be that which is permanent. I act through these temporary objects while living in the world. I have to act. It's not that at the level of body I will not act. It's not that Bhagwan is telling that, you know, after knowing this, stop acting. Why? This body is maintained by, you know, our acting in this world. It body to maintain till the time the prarabdha is there, needs food, needs cleanliness, needs things to be fulfilled. But there is a clear vision for such a person that all these things which I am doing to maintain my body or retain my body or sustain my body are temporary in nature. They are not my final goal at all. My final goal is that permanent supreme consciousness which is beyond all these objects. It's, you know, I use one word which actually I am taking it from Kathopanishad. Nachiketa said it to, you know, Mrityudevta, Varastume Varaniyasa Eva. Amongst all these, and amongst this whole creation, not only the world of objects I'm talking about, amongst all these creation, this entire creation, put together everything in this creation, which can be chosen, Varastume Varaniyasa Eva. That alone is worthy of being chosen. That means in self, the supreme consciousness, God. God alone is worthy of being chosen amongst all these things. All other things in our life are our temporary engagements in this passage of life. In this journey of life, they are my temporary engagements. Of course, I need to put my 100% to them also when I'm engaging. As I told you what Pooja Gurudev gave as a message, our mind should be where our hands are. We must do that. But to maintain this body, those temporary things are important. But I must have a very clear vision that they are mere temporary. They are not, they are not something for which I need to do varan. They are not to be chosen as my ultimate goal. Means what? I don't choose them as sadhya. I don't choose them as my attainment level. I don't choose them as my final goal. They are only sadhan. Sadhan means they are only my tools to do the passage of life. But they should be a facilitating tool for me to reach my ultimate goal. It's not that, my ultimate goal is God, but I'll do all those stupid things in my life which doesn't even talk to my goal. Of course, I should go through, adopt those temporary tools as tools to my final ultimate goal. They are the things which are supposed to lead me to that goal. They should be actually useful in the journey of life, right, for me to achieve my final goal. And I should accept them. I should accept them is the word, not choose them. There's a difference between accepting and choosing them. And Bhagavan says, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji in his Bhajagovindam also says, Yallabase nija karmo patam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. According to our prarabdha means that which has already begun, and things which are which appears in my life, things which come in my life, if it's not that I've chosen them, they have appeared in my life according to my prarabdha. They have not come to me out of my desire, because this body is made of panchabhut. Panchabhut means the five essential elements of akash, agni, jal, vayu and prithvi. These are the five elements, and which panchabhautik is this whole body. This body is born out of these five elements. So it will be maintained by these five elements, and its fulfillment will also be in these five elements. No, I use one word which I think I mentioned somewhere in the podcast before also. Oh, please remember, this deha, this body, is made, is modeled out of, is constructed out of these five elements. It's made of these five elements. Since it is made of these five elements, its sustenance will also be with these five elements. And its pushti means its fulfillment will also be with these five elements. So this body made of five elements will be sustained by the things with these five elements only, will be actually fulfilled by these five elements, and at the end will merge also into these five elements. So that which has started from where will be maintained in there will also go back or dissolve into that thing. That's why this body needs objects, I'm saying. Then what is the meaning of dispassion here? Or dispassion doesn't mean that, my need for objects should completely go away. My needs are I don't need anything in life at all. No, that's not what is meant by vairagya. Then you have not understood dispassion at all. Dispassion means while as the body is there, for sustaining the body, as per need, I will use them. I may build a situation around me also for sustaining my body, but I will overlook or I will drop those things which are a blockage towards my ultimate goal. Because sustaining the body is required for me to reach the ultimate goal, I will use the objects. I will not, I will use the object, but I will not be used by the objects. No, no, when I say this word, use the objects, please don't understand it means it's a selfish thing of, you know, I will only use, but I'll not be used. That's not what I meant. But I'm saying today what has happened is actually we possessing objects, we start with that, but later on objects starts to possess us, or things or situations or people starts to possess us. That's where it becomes wrong. We need to understand this thing. There are things which have come to me in my passage of life, but my ultimate goal is actually God alone. That's one thing we should never ever, you know, lose sight upon. For a man of wisdom, actually this is the understanding with that man of wisdom lives with. Even if there is an intelligent seeker, that seeker understands that this body is maintained from these five things and is going to be fulfilled by this, by these five, the things made out of these five elements, so they will surely come to us. According to our prarabdha, things will come, they will come and, you know, join us also, they will leave us also, but we need to understand I will not get possessed by them. He will not feel that, you know, things which they have not come, he will not overtly look for them also, run after them also. According to prarabdha, things will come. According to prarabdha, things will go also. That understanding this man of wisdom will have, or the intelligent seeker, not man of wisdom, intelligent seeker will have a clear distinction between both these things. But the thing is, this for an intelligent seeker also, why it's become intelligent seeker, that, you know, it takes time for such knowledge to come in and, you know, establish in our intellect. Because the thing is, our intellect is very gross at the moment. This trust needs time. This trust, this, you know, kind of knowledge to happen inside us needs time. Don't think that, you know, it's a miracle that it will happen overnight. Consistent practice, be at it, be consistent with it in your effort, it will surely happen. That's a promise which scripture gives. But don't think that it is going to something that will come overnight. This body is born out of prarabdha. Prarabdha is the one which has made this body. I've got this body because of also the prarabdha. According to my prarabdha only, we get the body. So if the body has come from prarabdha, prarabdha is the one which has created this body for me, then I need to understand that according to that prarabdha, things and situations in this body will also keep coming and going. My focus should be what? Amongst all those things, I should try to develop in devotion and grow in love for God, so that amongst these things also I am able to, you know, hold on to God. But while maintaining this body, while sustaining this body, I don't get overtly attached to those things which are only for the sustenance and maintenance of this body. I still hold on to the permanent from where the soul came, from where me, the original entity, came. We are all part and parcel of that supreme consciousness. We have something called in our Sanskrit which says Ansh Anshi Bhav. We are Ansh means we are part. Anshi means he is the whole. WHOLE. Is the whole from whom we have come as a part. So our fulfillment, I'm just, you know, since I've used this word of fulfillment of the body, remember one thing, all that which is made of five elements will be sustained by the things of five elements, will find fulfillment in the things of five elements, and need to be dissolved or will be dissolved in the five elements. But me, the soul, the entity, has not come from the five elements. So, my sustenance is also not from the five elements. My actually maintenance and my fulfillment will also never be from the five elements. That wisdom we must, that knowledge we must have. Five elements can fulfill and maintain and sustain my body. They can only keep me in this body for me to gain that knowledge. But the soul's fulfillment actually comes from spirituality. Soul's fulfillment and maintenance and sustenance come from spirituality. I've sent one quote also, sometime back in the WhatsApp group, people they would know that, remember prayer, and it's a quote of Pujya Gurudeva. prayer is not a spare wheel to be used when I'm in need or when I'm in trouble. Actually, prayer is the steering wheel to direct the direction of my life, to lead the direction of my life, to take me to the path in life. If that understanding is clear to us, we would know that the fulfillment of soul can never be from the things and objects of made out of these five elements, because it is not arisen from there, so it cannot find fulfillment and there at all. I have got this body according to my prarabh. Goswami Tulsidas ji says it very beautifully. You know, since this is prarabh, this is a whole play of prarabh, tab chinta kyon kare, kyon na bhaje Raghuveer. You know, there is no one in this whole creation who has come with zero prarabdha, or who has come with prarabdha shunya. Nobody in this creation. And this, we can understand it very easily from our intellect, from our, you know, if we use this thought process, we can easily understand that. It is actually the weakness of our intellect if we are not able to understand this thing. Our intellect and memory, is not able to stay at this point that prarabdha is the one which has given this body, is giving the situation. So, you know, it is the weakness of the intellect not to understand this. You know, you can and choose to remain happy in that ignorance. That's your choice. You know, our intellect and memory needs to establish faith in this factor, or that, you know, that's the truth is, prarabdha is the one which is actually leading this body, making the situations reach it to me. You know, in this life, those things which I don't want also, those situations which I don't desire, which I don't want also come to me, and some happiness without even me thinking about it also comes to me. If sorrow comes to me without my thinking, happiness will also come to me without my thinking and overtly getting there. At the level of body, we need to understand everything is a result of our own action. It's something called karma phala. Everything is born out of prarabdha. But there is one more thing which I want to highlight while saying this today. Because everything is coming out of prarabdha, that is why if non-desirable situations and non-desirable people, non-desirable things come to me, in non-desirable happiness, then why will the happiness has not come to me even if I desire or not? That understanding one must have. You know, one way to look as part of Karmavad or the Karma theory is that according to prarabdha, my things will come. And mostly it is said in our scriptures also, and it is explained, it is our common understanding also. This life we are actually attaining that which is the fruit of action of our actions done in the last life. But that's not entirely true also. I want to highlight this point because Karmavad theory also, we need to understand it correctly. Yes, most of the things which I get in this life are coming out of my previous birth or previous life's karmas. Like example, the family I am born in, the house I have, the mother, father I have, the initial education I have, all these things, if we see, it's not something we decided. It's given to us. We didn't choose them. It was given to us. The mother and father I am born to, the family I am born into, the house I am born into, the locality I am born into, the school I go, the friends I meet, they are all actually given to me. Right? If we really think it carefully, we know that this is not something which I made. I didn't create them right now here. So we need to understand this thing very well. Prarabdha is something which we all have to go through. Whether you crib, cry or happily do, that's up to you. But all of us have to go through, all of us has to bear. That is the power of prarabdha. This thing, we need to remember. But remember one thing I'm highlighting again, that should not make us focus towards inaction. If we have everything I'm going to get through prarabdha, then why should I act? I'm anyway going to get it. We should not do that. There is another side of Karmavad which I'm wanting to give here. If everything is coming from prarabdha it is not to make somebody go into inaction, but it is actually to make somebody become more or attached to devotion to God. More, you know, find more happiness with devotion to God. Find love for God. Grow in devotion for God. That is the purpose of saying this. You know, a seeker can, and you know, remain free from all kind of worries without being, you know, overtly looking forward, or without being overtly attached to some result, without, you know, being overtly focused on something. And the seeker can actually, you know, put all the seeker's effort towards actually the main goal of life, which is attaining the supreme consciousness or attaining the love and grace of God. And you know, this is what, how a sadhak can think actually. The, you know, ego of this body, na dehabhiman, is not a small thing at all. You know, since this is, you know, ego of me being the body is not a small thing, and you know, the worry also comes as part and parcel of the whole thing. You know, since I have attachment to my body, since I have this ego that I am the body, of course I would want to create an surrounding around me which gives me happiness. I would want to choose a situation around me, or I would want to build a situation around me which gives happiness, comfort, luxury to this body. That is a natural thinking. And you know, how can I not worry about this body at all? You know, so that means if this worry of the body comes as part and parcel of this birth, then, you know, how can I not desire those objects for the body? Now, this is where I wanted to highlight the portion. But the only thing which Bhagwan is telling is that, and you know, need fulfillment is okay, not a problem at all. And Bhagwan will in the further chapters highlight this point. When it comes, I'll explain you there also, or in more elaborate way. This worry of the body is natural. But when that worry of body starts to become obstacle in your path of devotion, that's when you need to stand up and start to make a change. Okay. These, you know, fulfilling the needs of body and you know, creating comfort and luxury is not something which Shastra is saying don't do. You can do, but don't get attached to it and don't make it a blockage to the path of devotion. Don't let it become a badha towards your, you know, bhakti. Don't let it become a, you know, a thing where you get so reveled in that you forget about Bhagwan only, which is many times which happens. We go to God to get things. Once we get, we forget God. Which is very strange of this thing. So if things are start to become obstruction in my path of devotion, at that time a seeker must understand it's time to start giving up, or it's the right time to start to change. And that's why our Siddh Mahatmas, they say that, you know, we must look at the goal clearly. What is going our ultimate goal? That is very, very important. We must keep in mind that this life, if you know, is not just limited to creating good and happy and comfort and luxurious situations around me. There is something else which is expected. The actual pinnacle of achievement of somebody's life, or actual, you know, lifetime achievement for someone will be, if that person, while living through this world, whether, you know, with comfort, luxury or not, is able to attain a situation where that person ceases to be born again in this creation. That is what this goal selection is all about. You know, if you know, we really think of ourselves in our way, we must understand that, you know, according to Prarabdha, lead your life. There is no one stopping from it. But we need to understand, and what we choose definitely is something which is going to create our personality, create our path. Then we don't say that after choosing this, why did I reach here? There are two examples also I can give, but I'll tell you one more thing about the karma vad, which I was trying to bring out as a highlight. Yes, it's right that most of the things which I receive in this life are actually coming from my past life karmas, which I call it prarabdha. But there is another secret to the karma theory which you must understand. There are certain things in this life also which I'm doing, they are ready to give me immediate result. I told you, you know, crop by crop it differs. There are certain things, there are certain fruits which, you know, doesn't take time to, you know, bear as fruit. There are certain, you know, things which you sow, they bear fruit within a short period of time. But there are certain fruits which takes 4 years, 5 years to actually grow, become a tree and then only bear a fruit. But, you know, there is no single time for all the fruits to bear. In the same way, according to the karma theory, you must understand, definitely yes, as you know, most of the prarabdha of mine is actually coming from my past life. But there are certain things which I do in this life also, which gives me immediate result. Okay, they go and join into my prarabdha in this body itself. Why I brought this up specially is that, you know, sometimes we create strong desire for something. We create very strong desire for something. We make it tivra ichha. Remember one thing, if you choose something very strongly, very, very strongly, you must remember you can attain it in this life also. That is the reason of bringing this whole concept now, the whole karma theory, that if, you know, there are certain things, this is the principle of karma, so philosophy of karma explained this way in our Sanatan Dharma, that if there is something which you create a strong desire or strong liking in this life, you can attain that in this life also. It can go and become your prarabdha in this life also. But remember, it will take lot of effort of yours, lots and lots of effort of yours. You not only create a strong desire, it's just that, and remember, from strong desire, there also has to be a strong action. From strong desire, only strong action comes. So, why I brought it out is, if something which we, that's why, you know, our scripture says, be very careful in what you choose in life. Ultimately, that is what is going to lead your direction. You create a strong desire, you have the ability to create a strong action, and you have the ability to make it fructify in this life itself also. That ability is there with you. But alas, a lot of time and effort will go into that particular thing. You know, if somebody desires for that, at Karambad says, definitely you can attain it. So you don't say this thing. You know, these two statements become incomplete in itself, that, you know, whatever I receive in this life is only from the previous life, and whatever I do in this life will only be attained in the next life. That theory is also wrong. And another theory which people bring to escape from this whole karma is also wrong. What is that? People say that, you know, this life is only about this life's karma. I have got nothing to do with my past life karma at all. I am only reaping the benefits and things from this life only. That's why I only work in this life, forget about the other life. That theory is also wrong. So, you know, in the karma philosophy, you need to understand these two things are incomplete and incorrect in itself. You must think over it that both the things are important. It's entirely up to you what you choose in life. So you choose, so you become, you have the ability. That's why Bhagavan is saying, if you have that ability, why not choose the ultimate goal of the self? Because that is what is varastume varaniyasa eva, which Nachiketa is telling in Kathopanishad to Bhagavan, and who? Mrityu Devata. When Mrityu Devata tells, you know, when Nachiketa was waiting at the, you know, doorway of the, you know, the world of death or the Mrityu Loka, and you know, at that time Mrityu Devata was not there, but Nachiketa waited at the you know, door, and when Mrityu Devata came, the Lord of Death came, and somebody told him, their sevaks or, you know, their people who serving them told him that, you know, there is one person who's waiting at the door for you for the last 3 days. So, you know, the Lord of Death got worried about it and came and said, you know, you've been waiting like this without food and water. You know, I give you 3 boons. That's how the whole Kathopanishad starts, by the way. I just brought it up to for your attention. And we are talking about Vairagya here. We must remember, creating good situation and comfortable and luxurious life cannot be our end goal. They will definitely come according to our prarabdha, some from past life and some from this life. You can spend, or I would use the word, you can waste your life in only building that also. But remember what I said when I use the definition of kripana, what Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji said. Hey Gargi, etad aksharam aviditva asman loka praiti, tat kripana. That one is kripana. The one who leaves this world, or ones who leave this life without knowing that permanent, that imperishable, etad aksharam aviditva, without knowing that permanent imperishable, one who leaves this life, that's actually that person I call kripana or miser, or a waste of life of that person has done. And so that's why that's exactly what the karma theory and all is about. But in our scriptural definition, this is what Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji wants to tell us, is that this is how it is. I'll use one more word about the choice and non-choice. I'm bringing it up from actually Srimad Bhagavat. There are two kinds of kshatriyas we speak about as a story in Srimad Bhagavatam I'm talking about. One is the life of Dhruva. You all must have heard, those who have at least heard Srimad Bhagavat, once in your lifetime, you must have heard this. The story of Dhruva, who was actually insulted by his stepmother and told that, if you want to sit on the lap of your father, go and take next life and be born from my womb to get the ability or the, qualification to be sitting there. With that thing, Dhruva left and went into the forest and did bhajan of Bhagwan. The best part about Dhruva is Naradji met this, and he was only a 5-year-old child at that time. From the story I'm telling you, he was only a 5-year-old child. Naradji met him and Naradji said, Dhruva, why are you wasting your life? Go look for Narayana and all those things. Now Dhruva is a Kshatriya. For a Kshatriya, I told you when I was explaining Vishad Yoga also, for a Kshatriya, insult is a big thing. When I also explained verse number 2.31, 32 and 33, at that time also when Bhagwan said Akirtim cha hitwa, there also Bhagwan said that word. For a Kshatriya, this maan and apman is a very, very strong thing. It's not something which they can easily, live with. So, Dhruva said, when Naradji gave the entire advice that you can attain God, Dhruva said, I am a pure Kshatriya. For me right now, my insult is gone into my head so much that it won't let me even think of God that much. I will definitely worship God according to the process and methodology which you told me, but to fulfill my desire that I want to attain a state, a position which is higher than my father. Not to be born again from the womb of that woman who is my stepmother, to be sitting in the lap of my father. I want to attain a position which is far higher than my father, that they all look up to me. That was my intense desire. So since that's my intense desire, right now if you think that I can sit down and attain God, that won't be possible. Let me just fulfill my desire first as a Kshatriya and come over my, this insult, or cross over or dissolve this interest or destroy this insult, then I will think on, what you told me. And another example which I can bring up from same Srimad Bhagavat is Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, when he got cursed by that saint for putting a dead snake on his neck, the one who was actually in Samadhi, got cursed not by the saint, by the son of the saint. A saint was actually sitting in deep meditation, was completely dissolved in the thought of the self, or Atma Samadhi was there, and Parikshit ji was thirsty. He had gone for actually in the forest for hunting as a leisure. He had gone there, he somewhere lost the way, and he reached the ashram of this saint, and this saint was sitting in a Samadhi, and Parikshit ji asked for water, and he became so deluded by the whole thing that he thought that the saint is actually doing a drama, that he's in Samadhi and he's actually not paying heed to what he's requesting for water. So he got so angry that he picked up a dead snake and put on the neck of that saint, saying that, let me see if you are doing a drama or not. In the meanwhile, the son of that saint came, and the son knew that his father is in Samadhi, got very upset with this, and you know cursed Parikshit, that you know you put snake on in the neck of my father who was in samadhi. You insulted my father. Now you see, you know, go in 7 days, snake of all snakes, Takshak, will come and you know hiss you and will inject you with its poison, and you will die within 7 days. He got that curse. That curse is also an insult for a Kshatriya. But see the reaction of Dhruva and see the reaction of Parikshit. Parikshit ji understood that, you know, it's a God sent opportunity. I must give up everything. He immediately had dispassion and he gave up his entire, you know, kingdom to his sons and gave them the entire thing and, you know, walked to forest to attain God. You see the difference. Both are Kshatriya. Both took insult differently according to their own mental makeup and nature. Dhruva, in the story of Dhruva also, when Dhruva worshipped God for a long period of time and Bhagwan Narayan appeared in front of him, Bhagwan Vishnu appeared in front of Dhruva, at that time, and you know, Dhruva did not have too much of, you know, vocabulary and other things. He said, I do not know what to say. Bhagwan touched his conch, the shankha, on the, you know, cheek of Dhruva, and Dhruva started to, you know, start with the mantras from there. Yontav pravishya mamava jamimam prasuktam. He started with those verses over there. And when Bhagwan appeared in front of Dhruva, Dhruva said, Bhagwan, what a mistake I did. That in this, you know, amongst this permanent world, I could have gained you. What is a higher position to achieve than you? I, you know, missed that thing. Naraji told me also, but in the fury of anger and the fury, you know, and the infliction of the insult which I have taken inside me, I forgot that. Bhagwan, now I want that. So Bhagwan told him, Dhruva, sorry, you had did this whole tapas as the entire, you know, thing you have done, and with the, you know, entire penance you have done, with what in mind? I have to give you that goal because I have appeared out of that penance which you have done. The strong tapas you have done. So I am bound to give you the result what you have thought in your mind. So, you know, he made him the star called Dhruva, the Dhruv Tara. And, you know, you shine in the whole world till the end of this creation. You see, he has to wait for the end of the creation now for actually realizing. So this is what happens with a strong desire. So, you know, Nachiketa was very clear. You see the way of Nachiketa, when Bhagwan and when you know the Lord of Death, the Mrityu Devta, gave him three boons, go and ask three boons. Nachiketa said that, you know, I want to know the self. So Bhagwan, the Lord of Death, said, you want to know about the self? That's a very difficult topic. You are such a small kid. Nachiketa is also 5-year-old, huh? When he reached there, and of the whole thing, you know, the story comes in Kathopanishad, but you know, we'll explain it some other time. So when Nachiketa is so clear, you see, Nachiketa told the Lord of Death that, you know, don't try to entice me with the worldly boons of, you know, luxury and, you know, kingdom and, you know, those kind of things and all. Nachiketa is so clear in his understanding. He said that just because I did your darshan, I have seen you, you have appeared in front of me, those things, worldly things, I will automatically get. You think that, you know, after meeting such a big person like you, I'll go empty handed from here. I am automatically going to get all those things. So why should I waste my boon on asking such things? You know, oh, the Lord of Death, I insist that I want to know about the self, the supreme self, the consciousness which is permanent in this life. Rest of the things I don't want. I won't walk away after meeting such a high person or such a high position. It's like, you know, somebody goes and meets the king. Do you think that the person will go empty handed after that? Of course the king will reward him, that king is happy with them. Meeting such a high person, I won't go empty handed. It will be such a waste of a boon if I ask you boon to, you know, fulfill my worldly desires, which are temporary things anyway, that I will automatically get. You know, when Nachiketa said that I automatically get, don't think that Nachiketa is full of desires and attachment. He's not a Kami Purush there. Don't think that way. He is definitely full of Vairagya. He's expressing that, you know, after meeting such a person, I will automatically get things. So why should I run after them? I want to know the Supreme Self. After, you know, reaching you, after knowing the self, these things become petty paltry. They lose their importance. They lose their meaning. They only become obstacle in my life. In this whole scene world, nothing is there which is worth us to be, you know, achieved or set as a goal more than the Supreme Consciousness. All the things in this seen world can only become a tool or equipment to help me reach there, cannot become my final goal. That clear understanding should be there. You know, even for a mind, these things of the nature are required. Like, you know, mind needs couple of things. I'm telling you which mind needs, everyone's mind need, which is what? Because it's prakritik. So, you know, these things of the nature are required by the mind. What? Mind needs love. Mind needs trust. Mind needs respect. Mind needs entertainment. Just look inside you. You will see mind needs all these things. But that doesn't mean that I should, in the pursuit of giving these things to mind, I should create obstacle in the path of my final goal. These things should not become my final goal at all. They cannot become like that. That, you know, because mind is made of, come out of prakriti, mind will function in the prakritic way. These things are required. But amongst these things, final goal needs to be chosen. That is what Bhagwan Shankaracharya also said there. Now, Bhagwan Shankaracharya is connecting this verse to the next verse, which is verse number 53, which I will start today. We will see the literal meaning today, but we will take the detailed meaning in the next one. Let's read the connection which Bhagwan Shankaracharya is bringing up. Bhagwan Shankaracharya says, Moha Kailateya Dwarena Labdhatma Vivekaja Prajnaha Kada Karma Yogajam Phalam Paramartha Yogam Avapsyami Iti Chet Tashrunu. Bhagwan Shankaracharya connects this stanza with the next verse, says that, you may now ask, when shall I attain the true conviction of the self? Will it be after crossing beyond the veil of ignorance and obtain wisdom? Obtain wisdom through the discriminatory power, through the discrimination of the self and the not self. For that, Bhagwan is giving the next verse. Listen to that. No, he says, Moha Kalilateya Dwarena Labdhatma Vivekaja Prajnaha Kada Karma Yogajam Phalam Paramartha Yogam Avapsyami Iti Chet. After crossing over this delusion, the mire of delusion, Moha Kalilateya Dwarena Labdha Atma Vivekaja Prajnaha, when I am going to get the true discrimination of the self, when I am going to get a true sight of the self, when I am going to get the vision of the self, Vivekaja Prajnaha. Prajna means wisdom, here. Actually, wisdom means what? A clear knowledge of the self, a clear understanding of the self. What do you mean by clear understanding of the self? A knowledge of the self which is free from all kinds of doubts, which is free from all kinds of wavering mentality, which is free from all kind of ignorances, which is free from all kinds of non-trusty things, well, which is with complete trust. For that, Bhagwan is giving the next verse. Also, I want to highlight how Pujya Swami Subodhananji used to say, till verse 52, Bhagwan is giving, till verse 50, 51 and 52, Bhagwan and Supreme Consciousness, Bhagwan Krishna, is giving the fruit what a karma yogi is going to get. But in the verse 53, Bhagwan is giving the fruit of what a sankhya yogi is going to get. And with this verse, Bhagwan concludes the teaching what he was trying to give here about the self. He is concluding his teaching here with the final result what a person who knows and has got the realization of the self is going to get. Let's read the verse first. Then Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya, then I will take up the literal meaning. Bhagwan Krishna, Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna says in the Shloka 53, Shruti Vipratipannate Yadasthasyati Nishchala Samadhavachala Buddhihi Tada Yogama Vapsyasi Shruti Vipratipannate Yadasthasyati Nishchala Samadhavachala Buddhihi Tada Yogama Vapsyasi. Beautiful verse. every verse of Bhagavan Krishna is beautiful. I'm saying another gem in the series of beautiful verse, another pearl in the beauty of in the series of beautiful verses by Bhagavan Krishna, full of knowledge in you also. Shruti Vipratipanna, Bhagavan Shankaracharya in his Bhashya says, Aneka Sadhya Sadhana Sambandha Prakashana Shruti Vihi Shravanaihi Vipratipanna Anana Pratipanna Shruti Vipratipanna Vikshipta Sati Te Tava Buddhihi Yada Yasmin Kale Sthasyati Stiri Bhuta Bhavishyati Nishchala Vikshepa Charana Varjita Sati Samadhau Samadhiyate चित्तम अस्मिन् इति समाधिः आत्मा तस्मिन् आत्मनि इति एतत् अचला तत्रापि विकल्प वर्जिता इति एतत् बुद्धिः अंतकरणम् तदा तस्मिन् काले योगम अवाप्स्यसि विवेक प्रज्ञां समाधिं प्राप्स्यसि. Let's see the literal meaning first before we go into the detailed meaning of this particular verse. Bhagavan Krishna in his verse says, whenever te means tava buddhi, whenever your intellect, whenever your intellect, shruti viprati panna, sthasya, nischala sthasyati, whenever your intellect, though perplexed by what you have heard, shruti viprati panna means, shruti here means Vedas actually, whatever you have heard from different karmakandas or the different explanations given in the karmakanda of Vedas, as the actions and their corresponding results which you are going to achieve. Remember, there are so elaborate explanations in Veda about, you do this karmakanda, you will get this result, you do this karmakanda, you will get this result. Vedas, actually our Vedas or karmakanda of Vedas, explains about multiple levels of achievement, different actions and different results, shruti vipratipanna, and many of them are conflicting in nature also to each other. I'm saying, if you achieve this you can't achieve that, so they talk about different actions. I'm giving you an example again from the example which I've already given also. Like in the common world, you just see, if you do medicine you can't become an engineer. If you do engineering, you can't become a medical doctor. You have to choose one, right? In the same way, the karmakant of Vedas is also like that. You choose whatever you want. They have given a list of results and fruits which come from each of those actions. So, it is said, when your intellect, after hearing through all those things which are expounded in our Vedas, or after all the achievements elaborated in the world, you can take it this way also. Since Bhagavan is saying, so I'm taking Vedas, but I'm explaining you from the worldly perspective also. Though perplexed by what you have heard, shall stand nischala, sthasyati nischala, becomes firm means becomes unmoven, it becomes immovable from a place, is firmly established in one place, shall stand immovable and steady in where? In the self, samadhi, in the self, samadha vachala, achala samadhi means in the firm understanding of the self, in the steady knowledge of the self, then you shall attain self-realization. That is what Bhagavan is meaning by this particular verse. Bhagavan says, this is the pinnacle, tada buddhihi yogam avapsesi. Yogam here means Sankhya Yogam. That means your intellect or your memory, your mind has reached a state of achievement, what Sankhya Yogi or a man of realization will achieve. That is the level of achievement of a man of realization, that amongst this entire world of creation, amongst this whole gamut of objects and achievements in this creation, one's intellect is fixed and firm in the self, and it's a further explanation of the Nirvedam which he said in the last verse, got complete dispassion that I don't want anything, any result, anything from this creation apart from the self. And when somebody's intellect has reached that state, you need to remember that person has reached the achievement level of Sankhya Yoga or the knowledge about the self. That is what is meant by this particular verse. You will see the detailed meaning in the next session.
Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmana va prakrute svabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanaeti samarpayami श्रीमन नारायणायति समर्पयामि ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 हरिः ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम तत्सत्।